The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
Wednesday morning, and welcome to another edition, another hump day edition of Analyze This here on your NPR station in the U.S. version of WTJX-FM, where yours truly, Neville James. Rainy day this morning, Irene. How a heavy shower comes on this morning, around 7-ish. You know what I'm saying? So, yo, island gonna be green. It done green already. It gonna be lime green by the time this week's rain done with us. Don't know if it's raining in Iraq. Somebody text me to let me know what's going on. Okay, Doug Skoll like to let me know that while it'll be raining and St. Croix, it'll be dry like chip over on the capital, right? So somebody not text me to let me know if it's raining over there as well. All right, Governor gonna be in the studio in a little bit. You'll have a good conversation. If you want, the whole thing is his. You'll check if you want it. But I know he's a busy man, so we're going to take what we can get. Jeffrey Moorhead just hooked me up. The racing card. We got to speak properly now, right? Because the governor's coming in soon. So the racing card for Carnival Races, 9 days from today, on May the 3rd, is out. Apparently there's 7 races. Jeffrey was teasing me, so if I get any horses running, so I laughed. You know what I'm saying? But and hopefully it is a successful day, because it's been a historic staple as a part of Carnival over the years. You know what I'm saying? So hopefully that pans out. You know, my history with Carnival, from 78... to 83, right? I didn't miss a carnival. And then I went to college, right? Because that 83 was actually my first year of college, but I did that at UVA. You can hear the governor's voice there in the background and all that stuff. Well, shop for any man, you know what I'm saying? And then I didn't go back to carnival again for 11 years until 1994. I went over that morning, afraid of morning for races, and then went over again 95. I think I went in 96 as well, though, but then it's been a while. So hopefully we have Carnival as we know it comprehensively. Good morning, Governor. Welcome to the studio.
Good morning. Neville, good morning, Virgin Islanders.
It's raining all weekend.
Yes, sir.
That's what I have to use a rainy day for.
God say,
your sense of humor intact.
God say, hey, let me show you why you need to be here. It's going to rain. I'm going to make it rain.
What's going on today? Regular day, or you got some appearances to make?
Oh, I got a couple of recordings. I got a, you know, we have a second chance. This is the second chance month, so we have a great forum tonight. At the university, we're going to have a panel about second chances. We're going to be issuing some clemencies and pardons this month as well.
Okay.
Second chance month.
Okay.
So it's tonight at UVI. I think that's at 6. Mm-hmm. So the public could be aware and you can come down there. It's also going to be a live stream.
St. Croix. Great Hall?
Yeah. I think it's at the Great Hall. And then today we're touring the Diageo. Actually, the Virgin Islands government warehouses, formerly known as the Diageo warehouses.
Down there by
Cruzan Rum,
yeah. I drove past it. Remember when they were learning as they were as they go. Remember when they were storing the rum or the molasses, whatever it was, in the building. They didn't realize that the closed environment would impact the building. Remember, the bottom of the building used to be black and all that stuff.
No, so, it's still black. We need to know. We should have made them power wash it before we bought it.
Okay.
We didn't buy it from Diageo, for the record. Some people that take thing a run with it. We bought it from the class action suit petitioners. That sued Diageo. Part of the settlement was that they got the warehouse and we bought it from them. So we actually bought that, and I think it's 2 acres or something. That's now the Department of Property and Procurement and Education.
What's the long-term purpose?
So, I mean, first of all, we have a lot of consolidated storage that we need and around the islands, whether it's vehicles, equipment, and whatnot. Department of Education needs to get a school lunch program together, and in order to do that, we need to create a refrigerated space. One of the stopgap measures that we want to implement is we want to create a bigger warehouse and fridge in St. Croix. So we could use a smaller warehouse and fridge in St. Thomas. So when we need stuff over there, we just ship it just in time. As a precautionary, because right now in St. Thomas, there's really no space. There's nothing that we have. And we're still trying to acquire the island block space. You know where Island Block is behind? It's right across from GRS behind Petrus Plaza.
Yes.
We're trying to acquire that. I think we're going to be one of those administrations of the largest accumulation of assets for the government of the Virgin Islands. We're buying considerable amounts of land and assets as we move forward with this recovery.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I wanted to... You know, there's always so much going on. Yesterday, you know, when people walk up to me in the street, they say, congratulations. And I always ask them for what, you know, because there's so many things happening all at the same time. So Monday, we got a new attorney general, Gordon Ray.
We're going to talk a little bit about that.
In the morning, I declared the state of emergency for WAPA, which I came over here.
That was Monday morning or yesterday morning?
It was Monday. Yeah, Monday. Mm-hmm. Today's Wednesday, right?
Correct.
Then yesterday we came over here and we cut the ribbon on the microgrid at the educational complex. We did that yesterday.
That's the generator?
It is actually a solar grid.
The solar
generator and battery system.
And that's a shelter thing as well for storms, right?
So that's the first of its kind in the Virgin Islands for the government. We've never done a project like that for us. About $1 million, and it should cut about $10,000 off the bill for the
department.
Department. So it's like so much, and I tell you about the stuff we're doing tonight with the Second Chance Month. We're doing some great stuff with rehabilitation. Got some people working and doing just an awesome job in and after. We cut the ribbon on the tiny houses at the correction bureaus, temporary housing for people who are homeless or who are transitioning from prison back into mainstream. And, you know, it makes me laugh when we have press conferences like yesterday in the legislature. I know you're a former senator, but I'm going to have to beat up on them a little bit this morning.
I can defend them, so I just let you know for now. All the loyalty. I don't know the details of what's going on, but I'm going to defend them. So
I know you have to, and I like it when you defend them because it just makes the situation seem more foolish. You know, when we declared, and you know, I like people to get the nomenclature right because we went to the same school.
You didn't full flight early in the conversation.
Yeah, because
nomenclature. I like it. This. Yeah, words, go ahead and have that.
Words are important. We declared a state of emergency for energy. And I was very specific in instructing my team to do that because when you have
let me set this up. Mm-hmm. Right? Before we get to the details of the fisticuffs, right? What were you told by WAPA as it relates to their exigency needs within the last 10 to 14 days?
Well, it's not up to WAPA to determine exigency. It's up to me. I didn't have...
I mean, WAPA established that they were in need.
In December.
Oh, okay.
I want to make sure we're right because in December.
So this goes back 120 days.
Yeah, I talked to the board. I spoke to WAPA.
Go right into the mic.
And what's the name of the new board member? Not Moya, Maurice. We have a new another board member we just appointed to. Very brilliant Virgin Islander. And he Kyle came to me and they said, Governor, we don't need any more money. If you just pay what the government owes, we would be okay. That was December. I called the legislature in and spoke to them and told them there are a number of things going on here.
Selwood Jr.?
Selwood.
Lionel Selwood Jr.?
Lionel.
Yeah.
Thank you. There's a number of things going on.
You need a researcher in government, man?
There's a number of things going on here in the Virgin Islands. First, we got cash shortage because we're just waiting for a payday, and we paid some bills, and we got some stuff catching up for us from prior years.
So this is December?
December.
Okay.
I said, you could do a number of things. You can, number one, we have some money there that I put aside because of the Epstein cases that's sitting there. You could allow me to borrow that, and I'll put it back. You can allow me to borrow from the rainy day fund, which this administration established for the first time. I heard that Donna, Fred Gregory saying the legislature established the rainy day fund. I put the money in there. No, this is the only administration that ever had a rainy day fund. We established it.
Established or funded?
Funded. Funded. Because the legislature establishes it.
Yeah, man.
So
yeah,
man. Yeah. We funded it. And then we could take the money from that. Because you remember, you know, we still have money in the insurance guarantee fund too that we don't trouble anymore. We leave there. Plus, we had, so there was about $16 million in there for this rainy day fund. So you could extend our line of credit and allow us to use it for short-term cash flow problems, and or you could just give us a new line of credit so we could do some things.
And this is to address payments to Vital.
Right. No. This wasn't to address payments to Vital. You mean the cash flow we have now?
Yeah, yeah.
No. That's part of it. The cash flow, we have $100 million.
No. Let me rephrase that. The issue right now, as told to you by Selwood or Fleming in December, was what? What was the priority?
It was just cash flow.
Cash flow.
They had the same problem we had. Okay. They
had a cash flow problem.
Right. But we were a part of that problem too. But because of our cash flow problems.
And the government was negligent.
Right.
To them. And we had some cash flow issues as well.
Right.
Okay.
So I said to them, if you give me this line of credit, I could pay out the vendors before Christmas. If you want, we could pay up $20 million worth of tax returns, right? And pay WAPA. Don't even pay my section. Just pay the hospital and waste management, which was like $14 million.
Pay what they owe to the authority.
Right. The government of the Virgin Islands owes to the authority.
Mm-hmm.
Long discussion, plenty of options. Mm-hmm. I said, hey, you know, I'm giving you all these things. Go ahead and pick what you want. I didn't, because if I sent down something, it would have been a fight, right? They went down there, what do you call the thing? Preemption, the one preempt the other one. This one can't do it. And so all the legislation is stuck because of their own archaic system. If I get to legal counsel first, nobody else could move this piece of legislation, this idea, this thought.
Mm-hmm.
December, January, they had a hearing. They blazed down WAPA. WAPA this, WAPA that. They blazed down the government. The Jennifer went down to Director O'Neill. They hot her up too. Nothing happened. You guys, I wish I had a 60 minutes clock now.
Well, you know something.
January, February, March, April.
Yeah.
Now, all this time, because we're not paying the WAPA bill, you're incurring damage at WAPA, because if WAPA is having, if they have no money, they can't bring in the stuff that they need to move other things that they have on the board forward. So no cash flow caused problems with Wardzilla. It didn't affect the veto, which we are almost at the end of. It's caused problem with the Agrecos.
Yeah.
It's caused problems with 7Cs. It's caused problem with the vendors that we owe. Time flying, nothing's happening. And then one of them have the nerve to come and say, well, now it's April 15th, you don't have any problems. The one thing I like to explain to people, and you can agree to this because it's just factual. I cannot pay a bill unless I have authorization to pay it from the legislature. Mm-hmm. All I asked them to do...
Budgeted authorization.
Yeah. I didn't ask them to find the money. I knew where the money was. All I asked them to do... And this is the thing about what really irritates me, and I was trying to be nice on Tuesday, right? We don't have problems to the level we had in 2009 and 10 because then we didn't have any money. When you were in the legislature, we were broke. So the question never used to be, can I get authorization to spend $15 million? It used to be, where are we going to find money for $15 million to pay a light bill that we owe? We when I was on fast forward now, the power rotating in St. Croix. I'm like, why? Let me go back. So WAPA said, you know, we're not getting this money, so we can't buy fuel, and we're buying less and less fuel. So we have to count on just in time fuel in order not to let the islands go dark. Because we don't have any money to buy more than we need. It's like, remember when you were in college, you had $1.35 gas? Remember that? They had a dollar. I didn't even know you were going to buy gas in pennies.
We go get to where we're going and come back.
Yeah, $1.37. So They said they're going to start this weekend in St. Thomas because of weather. But really, it was weather because the fuel barge had problems with the
And Director Fleming mentioned that Friday on the Power Hour.
But... at the same time, if they had the money, they would have had enough gas, fuel, diesel to allow that to pass. Mm-hmm. Because you would have had storage. If they miss a day or two, ain't no problem. We're going into hurricane season in a little while and in this situation. So anyway, I said, okay. And then they said St. Croix going to have it because of fuel too. I'm like, okay. Monday now... the power rotating in St. Croix. I heard St. Thomas maybe had one power outage. They got the fuel in. The power rotating in St. Croix. So I kind of like, why is the power rotating in St. Croix? They didn't pay the bill to Agreco. Agreco owns 20 megawatts of generating power in St. Croix. So I call Agreco. I say, hey, what's the deal? He said, y'all didn't pay your bill. I can't do it anymore. I have a boss just like everybody have a boss. I said, look, boss, I know we owe you the money. I'm going to make sure you get paid by Tuesday, yesterday. Called up Senator Francis. Now, on Tuesday, right, I could have easily gone and said, call them into a special session and say, listen, authorize me to pay the hospital bill and waste management bill. Mm-hmm. Didn't do that. Once again, collaborative. Let's get the legislature president in there. Call Novell, Senator Francis, president. We talked. He thought it was a good idea.
Stop right there. We're going to have a break. We'll pick up the discussion where you thought it was a good idea to reach out to the Senate President to have this conversation so we could have a joint resolution with respect to the issue. The governor's in the House along with his press secretary, Mr. Richard Mota. If we're in America, we'd have said Mata. You know what I'm saying? But it's Richard Mota Jr. We'll be back right after this.
Bank of St. Croix has something for everyone. With two locations, the Bank of St. Croix provides personal and business checking accounts, online banking, and mobile apps for banking on the go, a nonprofit community investment checking account, and a 24-hour banking cash management platform. Bank of St. Croix, Gallows Bay, Bank of St. Croix, Peters Rest, and online, bankofstcroix.com. For details about our nonprofit community investment checking account, our service specialists are ready to help. Bank of St. Croix, member FDIC.
There are many complex issues that arise in our territory.
Comes with the territory with Leslie Comision.
Join me, Leslie Comision, for a breakdown of political issues facing our territory, one conversation at a time. I'm here to be the voice you can rely on for information that is straightforward and comprehensive. Tune in to be a part of the discussion. It all comes with the territory.
Comes with the Territory airs Sundays at 1 p.m. and re-airs at 7 p.m. on WTJX-TV, Channel 12.
Weekday mornings are a juggle, sometimes even a struggle. Morning Edition from NPR News eases you into your day and keeps you company through the chaos of a busy morning. Hear interviews that give you context on the day's biggest stories, along with reporting and updates on the latest breaking news. Stay on top of the world with Morning Edition every weekday.
Morning Edition, weekdays at 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
The PBS NewsHour has a rich legacy of in-depth reporting and strong storytelling.
Only four people have sat in that chair before us, and the enormity of this moment is not lost on me. People turn to us because they know they can hear from trusted sources of information and news.
That won't change a bit, even as the faces behind the desk change.
Good evening. I'm Jeff Bennett.
And I'm Amna Nawaz.
Weekdays at 7 p.m. on WTJX-TV, Channel 12.
And we're back here and analyze this. And I want to make sure I ask my engineer. So, engineer, we live streaming. So people could go to the WTJX website right now and they could see the Dapper Dan, the governor.
Let me fix with that.
With the pink tie and all that stuff. Okay, that's good. So, hey, for those of you, right, who want to see the actual, you know, by play, you know, we're live. Even though
radio is
the joint. We got the governor in the house along with his press secretary, Mr. Richard Mota Jr. Governor, thank you very much for being here in Boston. So when we left, you were hoping for a level of communication from my branch, the first branch of governor.
Right.
Okay.
This was when, right around
when it was announced that they'd be rotating, or this
right.
was recent?
This is after. So this is last week, Tuesday. Guy said, okay, you get the power on it. Call Senator Francis, agreed to try to put him together. He says, look, I can't get him together until Thursday. And I said, well, I promise this guy gonna pay him on Tuesday.
When he said them, they're talking about the members of the legislature.
Right.
The 35th.
And we had a meeting. I like to be transparent. And we had a meeting, where he brought in a couple other senators. And I wasn't sure what the meeting was for, so I asked, like, what is this meeting for? And, of course, I set it off on a bad tune. But I am always irritated because, you know, I try my best to include. And it's I recognize it's difficult in the legislature.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get eight people to agree, but
or a majority of the quorum.
Yeah. So in my thing is, I read, just like you. I don't listen what people say, what attorney tell me. I read. I spend a whole night Sunday night reading the code, looking for where I may be at flaw in declaring this emergency. And the code says clearly, the governor of the Virgin Islands, whether threat of emergency or under emergency or disaster, may use all resources of the, may declare an emergency, may declare martial law, and may use all available resources. It's right there in the code. It says it. I mean, like, you know.
VA code or Organic Act?
It's in the code. It's in Title 23, Section 1105. Mm-hmm. Look it up. Mm-hmm. Just Google it, Virgin Islands. You're going to see the powers of the governor. And it, you know what's sad? When you listen to elected people misinform the public, they don't even know, understand itself, what the code says. I mean, when you elect people, right, the least you're going to expect that they're going to read the code and understand what it says.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, whether threat of emergency or emergency, the governor may invoke this. Now,
let me come here, because I will write down what we're dealing with here now. And it deals with three main variables, right? Governance,
right,
financial, and political, And I want to go to the political.
I love that.
No.
That's great. Government. That's
governance.
Perfect. Governance.
Governance. Financial.
Political.
Political. Governance, you got to make decisions. Right. Financial, you got to pay your bills. And the political dynamic, which is where how the process that puts yourself and the senators, where they at now. Governor, I this is my biggest gripe. I'm going to talk to you now. You going to be sensitive to the fact that they got contract Carlos here and you ain't got none, my brother?
They need to be sensitive to the fact that I know that. well, that can make it very painful. And as a plain political... I'm trying not to. We're being candid here this morning. No, we're being candid. Right. And I want the people of the Virgin Islands...
Non-gubernatorial.
Send me some people who have cojones.
Non-gubernatorial years.
I don't have another election to win.
Oh, that's the next thing that you stated. You actually stated this right after you won, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But we gotta be sensitive to this reality, man.
I'm gonna say publicly,
right?
I'm gonna sink you. You know why? Not for me, not for politics, because this is why.
Then I can't do that, man.
COVID taught me, right?
2020.
COVID taught me,
yeah,
that you have to lead. You have to put
without a doubt
the good of the public. The good of the public above your personal ambition.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get to a point where you say, I'm going to lead. I'm going to do the right thing because the right thing to do. I mean, and I'm really frustrated today. And I'm saying when I send something down to you and you tell me, oh, you're always pushing thing on us. You don't give us no time to navigate. You have a hearing. You tabled it. Whatever I send down. People, check the record. You table it. And then you don't do anything for months. Meanwhile, the problem doesn't go away. So I said, you know what, Albert? You need to really see if you're collaborative. So let's collaborate.
But Governor,
so we call them in.
You yourself
let
just
me finish,
said,
no, man.
I ain't got none to lose.
No. I'm telling you that. I said, you call them in.
Yeah.
Right? You call them in and you send the problems and you give them the solutions. Ain't like I give them the problems.
I ain't denying that part.
But here's an action.
Without a doubt. Well, you know, I enjoy letting conviction be, you know, the most valuable characteristic for me when I was there. But it's not about me. Here is why I want to ask of you, right? You had a resounding re-election victory in 2022. And you did something. I didn't necessarily agree with it. You know, because it looked like you were trying to get yourself out all the time. But you said, I'm a lame duck, right? And no, you were a re-elected duck. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not a duck at all. I've been corrected by the lieutenant governor. He tells me all the time. Stop saying that. You're not a lame duck. You're not a duck.
Well, it's a political term, right?
Yeah.
So at this point, right, what about Albert Bryan taking this posture? Governor Albert Bryan. Yo. I ain't running again. This is what I just taking your words or no?
Yeah.
I ain't running again, right? So it would be in our best interest, but even more so, our best interest with a contract call in 2024, that we have the highest levels of communication to fix the problem because I got to go facing the people them again, not me.
Exactly. Look, I even went, imagine this, right? And what I love about speaking to you, Z, like, you're a guru on several levels, guru-fied. Now listen to this, right?
Yeah.
Imagine the legislature, the Democrats of the legislature now.
That's the next thing we ain't even gotten to there yet because people want to know what going on.
Are getting together to fight against the governor, and think about it, for paying the WAPA bill that they owe. There's the order for insult to injury. Kenny Gittins, right, passed a piece of legislation that demanded that WAPA get a turnaround company and we the government of the Virgin Islands do what it's
Senator Kenny.
Senator, sorry.
Yeah.
Right? And I was mad first, right? And then I went back and read it and I was like, well, okay, Kenny, right, let's do this. We did the RFP. We were about to send because it wasn't funded.
Mm-hmm.
In the press conference, I said, listen, WAP, we're going to pay this. And WAPA is going to fund this out of their proceeds and get this research done. We're doing it. We're doing what you want. We're not being defiant.
I just think right now they know that they got petitions circulating. They got deadlines in May.
So,
and there's the human aspect is in play now with respect to the politics.
Don't mess with me. That's the first message. Here's the thing now that I ask you, right?
But you ain't got nothing to lose.
No.
So it wouldn't be in their best interest to get in a fight with somebody who ain't got no contract, huh?
I would think so.
That's a logical application.
But here they say no, right? This is the thing that is the great equalizer. And I don't like threatening and stuff like this, but I'll ask you this. In my first term, didn't I stand firmly with WAPA even though it was against my best interest?
I did that. So I appreciate that. I used to be on the radio defending Hugo Deb and saying, look, we blaming WAPA and people ignoring the reality. Think what you want about management. With the commodity that we use, we are importing it. And in some instances, it is being purchased from, at the time, Hovensa, who was open. And it should have been at a negotiated rate because it was being manufactured in our backyard and we were getting screwed because they were using American law to jack up to keep the prices. When in Venezuela, $0.08 a gallon.
Yeah.
So I understand that part. But I want to give you credit for something that you told me early on. And this is October 2019. You said, Neville, I said, Governor, I want to talk to you. I went to meet with Ark late. Blah, 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 you say, come government house on Sunday. So I want the public to know that you're dealing with this issue here, right? Governor, I don't even remember the conversation, but I told you I went to meet with Arclight. I was good with them at the time.
I remember that.
And you said back then, because I believe this is the genesis of the problem, Neville, if I had $100 million today, I'd buy us out of Vital. This is year one. Furlong number one in this eight furlong race you there in as governor.
Yeah.
This is April 2024. So that would make it a full 4.5 years since when you told me this. And we still there in this predicament to the governor. That's the issue that I really believe is undermining all of us here, that we have this entity that got us caught up in this long-term agreement. And it's killing us, man.
Well, I'm here to tell you that the sun is about to come out.
Now tell me about it, man.
So I think we've made enough. We had some things happen in the last week or two with HUD, and I think we see our way to the end of this. And getting out of that deal allows us a whole lot of other options that's going to bring down the cost of fuel.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, Democrats, right? I tell the legislature, I'm a Democrats in the legislature all the time. All you have to do is brag about wins. All the things that's being done now are done by a Democratic majority in the legislature, a Democratic governor, and a Democratic delegate to Congress. We got a trifecta. But you are rallying against...
Using Hasri, you're saying talking about this, Hasri, you're talking about this. So you're trying to make me smile this bad, you know what I mean? By the way, I'm a listener, sir. Good morning. Listening, it's not enough just to read the code. It must be read in context. For example, money appropriated for a particular purpose isn't available for another purpose.
That's not true. It says all available resources. So were you telling me?
And you're saying that the section that you talked about, Title 22, is that 1105, states that you have unilateral abilities?
I have the ability to suspend. Read it. Did the person read this part? It says the governor has the ability.
No, they were actually talking from a contextual perspective.
I ain't reading from the book. I'm telling you right now. I can read it off my phone.
Yeah.
It says the governor has the ability to suspend laws. Suspend laws. So when I listen to them sitting.
So you didn't know that you were this powerful until you read this thing on Sunday night?
No. I know all the time, but I don't like to. You think it's now people begging me to take over?
So you saying that you were trying to exhaust all
measures. I don't want to run WAPA. That's not my job. You know, he gets paid way better than I do. But it's not my job. I don't know anything about power plants. I have to rely on my best consultants, advisors to make this. So when you see me make an action like this, I'm the guy that went through COVID and didn't put a curfew. I don't like being in other people's house. I wish the hospitals, waste management, port authority, everybody would run without me interfering at all. That's the reason why they're set up. They're set up as semi-autonomous agencies. But you can't say you're autonomous and every day you're coming for money. That's like your child in your house, eating your food, you're putting gas in the car, you're paying with all the expenses, and then they want to tell you what are they going to do? It don't work like that. It's like, if you come in for money all the time, obviously something is wrong. I need to be involved. I don't want to be involved. I get enough problems in central government to deal with. But anyway, so the thing about this, the governor of the Virgin Islands is the most powerful governor in the country because of the powers vested in him by the Organic Act of 1964 and further explained...
54, yeah.
I'm sorry, 54. Yeah. And further explained... in the code, Title 23 under emergencies. So I could have done this from a long time. I could have done it in December. But no, I said, no, I'm gonna go to the legislature. I'm going to give them a part to be active in this. And I don't want to make this about a battle with the legislature, but they just mashed me con. And I'll admit, I'm a little upset.
But Governor, it's carnival, baby.
It is carnival.
I mean, come on, man. You can't get him a mulligan on this one? That's what you say? I beg you to don't beat up on them for the benefit of the Virgin Islands.
But you know what? It's so ridiculous. You know why?
Don't beat up for the people of the Virgin Islands right now. We need...
This is it. After this show, I'm done. You know what's so ridiculous about it? It's done.
You make the payment already?
Yeah, I don't make the payment. But that part done. But the code also... gives the legislature, right, the ability to revisit and vote down the emergency after 60 days. So 60 days from now, if they think I shouldn't be involved in WAPA and making all these things happen, they could say, no, Governor, you can't have an extension of your emergency. Of course, I could call another one the next day, mm-hmm. but that's another scenario. So there's so many little things that I can do that I don't use because I'm not about... running the legislature.
Just so that we let the public know that we could walk and chew gum at the same time.
Yeah.
The section is actually 1005, not 1105.
Sorry, 1005.
And so the governor...
1105 is the part that talks about the... I keep saying 1105 because it's the part that talks about...
the legislature and the governor and all that stuff, right? But in this particular case, it says here, this is what we're talking about, the governor and emergencies or major disasters.
Absolutely.
That's what we're talking about. Okay, so the governor is responsible for meeting the dangers to the territory...
Hello.
And people presented by emergencies or major disasters. So even if you're the governor or the staunchest of enemies, I want the public to know that it's right here. Okay? Title 23. It says Internal Security and Public Order, Chapter 10, Virgin Islands, Territorial Emergency Management Act, Subchapter, Emergencies and Major Disasters, Section 1005. It said the governor is responsible for meeting the dangers. In other words, you go take them head on.
Absolutely.
To the territory and people presented by emergencies or major disaster. So the governor may cooperate with the President of the United States, heads of armed forces, blah, 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 and all that stuff. So this is just validating what you just said with respect to how powerful the governor of the Virgin Islands is. Okay.
If I feel it, and it doesn't allow anybody to determine if I'm in danger.
No state of emergency may continue for longer than 30 days. Unless renewed by the governor. The governor may renew the initial state of emergency for one additional 30-day period, but to extend the state of emergency beyond the two 30-day periods before the expiration of the second 30-day period, the governor shall submit legislation to the legislature requesting an extension of the state of emergency.
You know who put in that part?
Who that?
Tregenza Roach.
Your lieutenant,
it never used to have a renewal.
You're an our lieutenant governor?
Yeah. Wow. Is he putting a 60-day reprieve? Because
the conversation is sweet. And I mean, okay, you got great hosts, right?
Yeah,
but we're going to take a break, right? I even lost track of time. So I go look over this a little bit. And by the way, we want to clarify with respect to Senator Gittins and Senator Fred Gregory about the legislation as it relates to WAPA. We'll take a break. Governor's in the house. We're live streaming. We'll be back right after this.
Human beings have been making music for tens of thousands of years. It brings us together. It has the power to communicate emotions and ideas. It's a profound part of the human experience. Hear the stories behind the music you love and new music you might fall in love with. I'm Raina Duras. Join me for in-depth interviews with artists who are continuing that musical history on World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
On Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, we are not afraid to stand up to the high and mighty like Jeff Bezos.
He had that big cowboy hat on. He looked like a shrink ray had hit Garth Brooks.
I'm Peter Sagal. Join me as we speak truth to power, at least until power agrees to buy us out, on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
He said that black smoke was constantly coming out of the burn pits 24/7. And my reaction to it was like, wow, that doesn't sound very safe. I wonder what that's about. And in my mind, I couldn't imagine at the time that type of system operating could potentially harm our service members.
Journalism that seeks and reveals. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Race is complicated. On Code Switch, we don't dumb it down for you.
And on Life Kit, we have advice on everything from money to mental health.
It's Code Switch and Life Kit from NPR.
Saturdays at 2 p.m. on WTJX FM.
Hey guys, we're back here. I'm analyzing this. And look, former colleagues are beating up on me and all that stuff. I guess I'm going too easy on you. But I just want to, I'm going to defend myself right now. Did I not just say, when we started, I'm going to speak Yankee twang now, when we started, didn't I say that I am biased on behalf of the legislature?
You did.
Did I not just say they have a contract call in 2024 that you do not, and that's a political variable that we're dealing with? Didn't I just say that? I'm trying to, you know, make things easier for the members of the legislature. Why? Because I put a dozen in there. You know what I'm saying? And I know the deal. And I know how powerful a governor can be. I didn't even realize he was this powerful.
Quote, unquote, I will defend them. That's what you said.
Man. So I know y'all want me to kill him, right? And I got the knife, but I ain't got a garlic. You know what I'm saying? Check, so here's the deal. I want a level resolution on behalf of the people. And I want to protect the members of the branch that I'm biased towards. I'm being very honest here, right? So the governor, you're stating, and I did my research, right? I'm a more educated person now than I was 25, 40 minutes ago. Because I could now cite Title 23, Section 1005, on a whim. So, Governor, I just know you got more power than I even know the governor had, right? How can we make this a win-win for the people of the Virgin Islands?
Specifically,
the chief executive yourself and the members of the 35th legislature. How can we make this a win-win? Is that possible?
I'm going to sponsor.
Pull that microphone
I'm
closer.
I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to sponsor a reading hour. For the legislature, anybody can come, where I can go through parts of the code and explain to you what this means. Now, the power of the legislature remains. And when I hear certain senators going on the radio and talking this stuff, I'd be like, but in the executive orders declaring the emergency, that you don't have to look. You know, mm-hmm. It says it was cited. It cites a code where.
Sanders is pushing back at me, former colleague, and they said the Rainey Fund has specific uses. What's your interpretation of
that? So here's the other thing that they don't read. Go back and read the legislation.
Budget Stabilization Fund. This is what we're talking about.
This is what it does. This is a part. You go back and read that. And this is how I behave, Neville, and how I try to work collaboratively with people. But when you choke and mash me can, the governor of the Virgin Islands does not need the legislature approval to use the Budget Stabilization Fund. It says in the law that all we need to do is the Commissioner of Finance needs to notify the Director of OMB that there's a need. And the both of them sign off and they use it.
Let me read the language here for the public so that we can, you know, commingle the language and your interpretation, for the lack of a better term, right? Or contextualize, right? So the fund consists of an annual appropriation of not less than $5 million and 10% of any fiscal year surplus within the territory of the Virgin Islands. The Commissioner of Finance shall deposit the monies contained in the fund in a separate interest-bearing account pursuant to Title 33 Virgin Islands Code. All interest gained on the monies deposited in the fund must be expended solely for the same purposes as the principal monies deposited into the fund. So the Commissioner of Finance shall transfer funds from the Budget Stabilization Fund to the General Fund for the following purposes: to offset any deficit in the General Fund at the end of the fiscal year, which occurs when the sum in the General Fund is less than the sum appropriated during a fiscal year; to offset a temporary shortfall in the General Fund caused by lagging revenue collections as to avoid delay in the disbursement of funds appropriated by legislature; and to provide emergency funding for disaster recovery in a state of emergency declared by the governor. So
reading is fundamental.
Are you using that last clause?
So let's go back, Neville, right?
As the justification for your actions, governor?
No. I don't have to. But I'm just showing you
There's a basis for you acting like as you feel it is in the best need of people of the Virgin Islands.
So let me show you how kind, considerate, and process-driven I am. I didn't need to call the legislature in December and ask them for a line of credit.
Not according to subsection 3 in section D.
But I didn't want to spend it without consulting them. So I said, listen, this is what I can do. Like, authorize me to do anything. I didn't need their authorization. Further, once the state of emergency is declared, I could use any fund in the government of the Virgin Islands.
You have arbitrary power to declare a state of emergency?
Yes.
Okay.
I wouldn't call it arbitrary, but I mean, the thing that I think we all need to understand, in I'm gonna go back to some of my senators. Okay, ain't all of them. I get along with everybody. Some of them I had it with, but anyway, when the public invests their vote in you, and you swear on and you to that oath of office, the public has two roles for you. One is to represent what I want, what the public want, what they say. The other one is to lead, for you to do your job and to you to make sure that you moving and doing things that they may not have all the information about. And the problem comes in when you have a group of people that don't understand that piece. So as governor of the Virgin Islands, I could have done a lot of things before without the legislature, but I like harmony.
So let me ask questions that you're asking, right? There's something called a special session that can be called by the governor. Why not go that route in this instance?
I explained that to whoever's texting you is not listening. Mm-hmm. Because I said I could have called special session.
Yeah.
But I know if I did that, mm-hmm. For some reason, it just
you didn't want to get into No, I don't want to speak for you, so I just want to say this. You also stated that there was a committee meeting and that the legislature took WAPA out behind the woodshed and did what they were supposed to do. Right?
Am I going to be director too? Mm-hmm. I mean, they put blows on us too, which is not... Mm-hmm. It erodes the public trust and faith in the government of the Virgin Islands. It erodes everybody's trust.
No, the legislature said yesterday, though, in fairness to them, that there's been withholding of information. Is that accurate? Hold on a second. In this instance, I don't think they're talking about you. I think they're talking about WAPA.
Oh, well, no.
And with all due respect...
I can't speak to it. I don't know what they asked WAPA for.
Yeah, without... Because they had the press conference yesterday.
But head is here. I love when I speak to you. And the mm-hmm. public forgive me because I get a little colloquial mm-hmm. when I speak. I don't always stick to my mm-hmm. decorum of my office. I apologize for that. I get passionate mm-hmm. about this. Mm-hmm.
But I got you. I got head you. I'm going to protect you from yourself.
Novell? Yeah. I mean, sorry, Neville? You paint my house, right?
Mm-hmm.
You owe me $1,000. Never wear my money. Well, I want to see your books because I don't think you should be charging me what you charge me. And I want to see all the money you spending and all the other things you buy in your company. Like,
Governor,
you owe me, bro. You owe me $1,000.
Governor.
How do you justify not paying your money?
And I'm going to tell you, Mr. Bryan, I paint your house and I want my money.
I mean, I don't have a problem with them questioning WAPA about everything, but you got to pay your bill. Mm-hmm. Even the PSC, right? They tell you, you can file a claim, but pay your bill. Otherwise, you're going to get cut off. I mean, and you know what is extremely annoying about this? There's no accountability when it comes to the hospitals and the waste management. And you know why I get...
You know something? I want to thank you for taking me back to where I wanted to go, because I pulled up the story, right? Governor, we got big problem here, because the more things change, the more the rain is seen.
Absolutely.
Remember we went in a lawsuit? I think it was some Ingersoll or something, and we found out that they had, during the... they had taken advantage of us during the... May have been the latter part of the Turnbull Richards administration. We found out about it in the DeYoung Francis administration, and Governor DeYoung filed a lawsuit, and then we get the money in the MAP administration, the $8 million.
Yeah.
And you know, they called me up. There were 8.1, and I was Senate President. They called me up there, and me and Senator Sanders met with Julio Reimer and the governor, and said, look, this is April 2016. Neville, I know we just get our money, but WAPA need all of it. I know back then you were probably, putting your gubernatorial thing together. You weren't a commissioner of labor then.
Right.
And I made this statement on my show the other day, and I'm going to make it again. The biggest regret I ever met was allowing them to play the legislature as WAPA being sad sack. And because the hospital and waste management owe WAPA all this money, that we give all that money to WAPA. You know why? Because we're allowing them to do this to us over and over again. We got to fix this problem, Governor.
But
they're holding us hostage. You say, well, the reason why we don't pay our WAPA bill, that's what the hospital said, because medicine is a greater priority than electricity. And while that might be factually true, that's not governance, and that's why I wrote it here,
I'm going to call the name today. Alma Francis Heiliger went and misinformed the public again and say that we have a single payer fund. We have a single payer utility fund for central government. It doesn't cover
the authorities, and that's why I just mentioned waste management, the hospitals. We got to fix this. Which leads
easy
to this.
Fix.
Let me ask this question. When we constructing these new hospitals, we incorporating generators in these hospitals so that they don't have to pay, so they got to pay WAPA, man, because they're killing us, man.
Solar and batteries. But here they say, right? Two things I'm going to tell you today, mm-hmm. right? In December, the other thing we told our legislature, we said, get a single payer utility fund for these bad actors, the hospitals and waste management, and make sure Jennifer, take the Director O'Neill, take the money out of their allotment monthly to make sure they keep up to date. They still ain't do that, you know. They ain't do that either. I mean, it's like, okay, here's the other responsible thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I get irritated. And the legislature, I apologize because I get irritated when my Carla Joseph, I love her to death. I love her to death, Carla. She always talking to me about my decorum.
But you know why you get irritated? They got a contract, Carla. You ain't got none. I keep telling her this.
No. This is before they said, because this is what irritated me. When we come together and we have a conversation, don't ask me stupid questions like, why the hospital ain't paying the bill? First of all, the hospital have a board and a CEO. Second of all, the hospital underfunded. Every year we appropriate another $10 to $15 million to help waste management pay their budget, pay their bills. Angel?
Nah, man. I every Wednesday when I wake up and I go outside and I see my garbage clear. I mean, they ain't hunting. I got me put it that way. I can't say they get paid, but I know they ain't hunting to the point where they ain't sending out the hollers.
Me sitting down. You could go and ask Bobo, you could ask Marco.
Yeah.
Sit down with them guys. Them guys ain't got a raise in years.
I got two cell phones. I got two cell phones. You can't hear them, but you can see them. They're lighting up like a Christmas tree.
Here
is one opinion. And one thing about the callers is, it look like, you know, they don't call in. They got, text me because,
you know,
what
they have? You know, I'm going to make them get a support group.
But check this out. Richie Mota, you're a communications man. And I know the chief of staff listening and governor. You got a new word, a new spelling for a word, T-Y-A-D. Tired. Here's what I say. Tired of all this talk about power and money, and still, we look and live like we do it. It's embarrassing, just look around. And I can't, you know.
What does that mean?
I'm willing to take the blame. Now, what it's saying is, we are, this is my interpretation, right? We are just going through the motions and have been going through the motions with respect to addressing this energy crisis that's been here for 20 years.
That's total BS. Here's another thing. I hope it's a legislator.
It's not BS, Governor. 20 years. The acronym LEAC came into the fold. Nobody knew about the acronym.
Let me tell you why.
And we're still dealing with a WAPA issue and a power issue in 2024. We ain't blaming you. I'm part of it. I was there for 12 of it. No, I'm saying this is, we got to fix this problem.
This is a keeper here, right? Right? I could look at every single campaign for the last 8 years for the legislature. I could look for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Not one person has committed to fixing any problem at the Virgin Islands. I'm going to go up there, I'm going to fight for you, I'm going to walk for you, I'm going to tire for you, I'm going to do this for you. But nobody commits to anything. I've committed to fixing WAPA. And when people say they're tired, if you have a problem for 50 years, I only here for 5 and I'm working on this problem.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And
you're approaching the 3-quarter point. You're in the 6 for a long time.
Okay, so yeah. I want to point out some things to people.
Mm-hmm.
And give governors.
But don't take this personally.
No.
I don't want you to do that. This is a decades long problem that they've identified.
But it's time.
Right. If you want to give yourself flowers for submitting legislation and all that stuff, go right ahead. But this is not a Albert Bryan created problem. This is a Virgin Islands issue that is a reality because we're detached from the mainland.
When we took over the government, they said we're going to broke in April. Didn't happen. When COVID started, they said we were going to die. Didn't happen. Thrived. When I told them I was going to fix the GRS, said couldn't be done. Done. So when you say about WAPA, oh God, save the commercial, because I want to point out this fact before. Give me 2 minutes, right?
No. We're going to pick it up. We're going to start the second hour with that. So you can get even thought. You can even marinate them better. You right? You can marinate them better, right? We'll take a break. We got a governor in the house. Live and direct, candid conversation. We'll be back right after this.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
I'm Scott Simon, host of Weekend Edition Saturday. In these divided times, what could be more important than a conversation? Conversation with someone we don't know, someone we think we know, someone with whom we disagree or think we do. Join us as we ask questions of politicians, ranchers, parents, athletes, activists, gardeners, writers, and lots more. Then listen along with you.
Weekend Edition, Saturdays at 9 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Music can be an incredibly personal experience. A song can inspire you, it can comfort you, it can make you feel understood, it can even take you back to a specific moment in your life. And it all begins with the artist. Join me, Raina Duras, as I get personal through in-depth interviews with your favorite musicians and find out where those songs come from on World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.